Welcome to Hail to the Podcast, brought to you by Maize and Blue Review. We are part of the Rivals Network. You can find us on michigan.rivals.com. If you are listening to the podcast or watching us on YouTube, thank you. Just make sure you are liking, subscribing, and getting notifications for when we go live, especially on YouTube. We love the comments and the interaction. We're going to respond as much as we can during the program. So, let you know who is all here today. I am Trevor McHugh, Senior Editor, Maize and Blue Review. I'm joined, as always, by the publisher and our insider, Josh Hemsky, and then our literal Mr. Do-It-All. If there is a sport played at Michigan, this man knows it and covers it, Brock Heilig. So, gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Good. All right. So, obviously, today we're going to cover the game tomorrow, Michigan-Purdue Big Ten Championship game, and then some college football playoff implications. There's two big elephants in the room that we want to talk about real quick and just kind of get out of the way so we can talk about football. We have covered both of these pretty extensively over at michigan.rivals.com, but it'd be weird to talk about the game without addressing them, so we'll go ahead and get it out of the way. Number one, it was Ian Rappaport, correct, Brock, that reported Blake Corum yesterday?
Yeah, Rappaport had it first.
Perfect. So Rappaport reports, that's fun to say. Blake Corum would get surgery and be out for the rest of the season. Brock went ahead and reported that. In the background, we were working trying to confirm the news, and I'll just say, frankly, we couldn't confirm it. In fact, we were getting some different feedback back. There was a chance Corum could get the procedure, which sounds like that has happened today. But in terms of being out for the season, we were hearing that they're still optimistic he could be back for the playoff, or maybe, you know, more likely a potential national championship game. And we're starting to see some of the national reporters adjust their reporting as well to reflect the same. So, Josh, does that pretty much cover it, or is there anything you think you got to add on Corum there?
I mean, not have to change a whole lot. I mean, it's basically going to come down to, you know, whether the national championship game is going to be in play. I think that's right. Ultimately the end all be all here. I do not expect him to be available for the semifinals when Michigan is in it. You know, I think a lot of it is going to come down to how his knee responds to the procedure. I mean, again, we don't really know what the procedure is and what the knee injury is too. So, you know, talking about that and talking about timelines, you know, would be just pure speculation from our point of view. So, yeah, I mean, from everything that we've been told, like the general consensus is that it just kind of just depends on how Corum's knee responds to the surgery and his rehab and all that stuff. So, you know, fortunately, all of that kind of lines up with, you know, the national championship game, which is what, I don't know, 5-6-ish weeks away. So I haven't definitively heard that he's done. But at the same time, I mean, it goes both ways, you know. I mean, it's like if Michigan doesn't make the national championship game, then all right, then he was done in the first place. But, you know, I think saying that he's done for the year is probably a good enough guess. I would have to say, I think they're going to make the national championship game, but that's a conversation from down the line. But, yeah, it's just it's just all coming down the timeline, and you know, they want to get it out of the way and then have him, you know, do rehab and all that stuff on his own time. And yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, so it's clear he's not going to play Saturday. He's not going to play for the semifinal. I highly, highly doubt it, unless he has some sort of miracle knee growth that no one knows about. But yeah, it just all just going to come down to whether Michigan makes a national championship and whether that timeline lines up and, you know, whether he gets cleared and all that stuff. But, you know, knowing Blake Corum and knowing just the type of workout beast he is and, you know, how he was in treatment all week of the Ohio State week to get his knee, you know, unfortunately not ready, but to get his knee ready for the game, kind of speaks a lot to how he's going to treat this process. And, you know, ultimately we'll see, but, you know, I haven't definitively heard that he's done. But again, that a lot of it depends on what Michigan does here the next month or so.
And you know, you heard it for Blake Corum, right? That Blake was having a Heisman caliber season. I think there's a good chance if he had played against Ohio State and we saw the result we saw, might be talking about a Blake Corum over Caleb Williams debate, right? So that stinks. Yeah. And you know what? You know, he's a team guy, and this is a team-oriented team, and he wants to be out there for his team. So, but at this point, yeah, it is what it is, and we'll continue to follow it. We did see Saturday against Ohio State that even with a banged-up hand, Donovan Edwards can step up, and that's what this team has preached all year, next man up, right? So one guy we're not sure if a next man up is going to be necessary is going to be Mazi Smith. So that was the other breaking news yesterday, which the headline definitely caused – you know, some fervor across Twitter world when you see Mazi Smith felony gun charges, right?
Yeah,
so, yeah. So as more and more information came out, and we had, again, some reporting on this at Michigan.Rivals.com before the Harbaugh and Ward comments came out. And I don't want to dig into this too much because neither one of us are legal experts. And, you know, from a tribalism rival fan standpoint, this entire conversation has gotten pretty toxic, right? So at this point, what we know is Mazi Smith has a weapon that he purchased legally. He had gone through the process of being fingerprinted, going through the training and getting, you know, the appropriate CPL license, et cetera. And he was transporting it in his vehicle when he was pulled over for speeding at least 5 miles per hour, or is what we were told. And he was forthright with the officer, explained he had it. And at that point, they took him back to the police station because he did not have his license yet. That his attorney clarified in court yesterday. He does have now. They processed him and released him. So he was not arrested. He was not detained in jail. A lot of people had some contention with the timeline of when these charges hit compared to, say, Monty Bates. The prosecutor clarified, had he been detained, they would have had 48 hours to issue the charges. Because he wasn't, they said, you know, a month and a half timeline like this is pretty standard. So anyway, I don't know if this was a simple paperwork error by Mazi. I know he also didn't have his driver's license. I don't know if, again, I don't know the exact details. What I know is Michigan is confident that Mazi has been forthright with them, the police, everyone involved. They expect these charges to either be dropped or severely reduced. And as we heard yesterday, the judge gave Mazi full reconnaissance to travel with the team. He's got another hearing for December 8th, where I think there's a good chance this is going to be stapled and put away. So, yeah, at this point, it is what it is. And again, I don't know how to discuss it without much toxicity, but we'll hear more when we hear more. But I guess based on Ward's statement, or sorry, cutting you out on this one, Brock, I'm going to go to Josh one more time. But based on Ward's statement, this feels like Mazi's probably going to play, right?
Yeah. I would be surprised if he doesn't. You know, this is just a giant nothing burger at the end of the day. I mean, mistakes were made by Mazi Smith. Obviously he's not, you know, no pun intended. He's not guilty party in this. I mean, obviously mistakes were made and, unfortunate mistakes, but, yeah, I mean, it's just a, you know, it is what it is. It's an unfortunate series of events. And, you know, I think that it's good that Ward and Jim are standing by their players. I mean, if you know, you wouldn't see them standing with Mazi if he was guilty of something serious. You know, if this was an actually like a legitimate threat to society or whatever, they're not gonna stand up behind him. But you know, Mazi means a lot to the program, means a lot to the team. He's a captain. Obviously, you want your captain out of the headlines and making smart decisions. And Jim Harbaugh preached that to the team, you know, when this happened. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a nothing burger. And, you know, the whole tunnel crap just kind of escalated this even more. And it's just a whole stupid mess. Yeah,
The tribalism element, and let's be clear, if it was the other way around, Michigan fans would be doing the same.
Oh, thing. Yeah. No, absolutely.
But at the end of the day, nonviolent crime did not occur in public, right?
Right.
I think that's something that the confusion people are making with how Tucker handled his suspensions was there was video evidence of these players committing assault. There was a likelihood that these charges were never going to be brought, and if Mazi wasn't suspended, we never would have even known it happened. So that was in play there, too. So I guess, Brock, do you have any any feelings on this or how Harbaugh's handled it? Or like I said, big picture question, just any comments on the whole Mazi situation?
Well, I saw the statement that Ward put out, and personally, I'm not the most knowledgeable person about gun laws and stuff like that. In fact, I wouldn't even say I know hardly anything. so I don't know exactly what the whole deal is or what paperwork you need to have or anything like that. But I think Michigan fans should be encouraged that it sounds like Mazi Smith is going to play tomorrow and shouldn't become any more of a problem than it already has been.
Yeah, and I'm comfortable leaving it there. I agree with you. And yeah, again, none of us are going to pretend to be experts on this. You know, the one thing I would say, to be a responsible gun owner, you do have to be responsible. So whatever mistake Mazi has made, we'll hear the exact details. And, you know, it sounds like he's owned it. And the legal process will play out. We'll go from there. So football, because there's a football team playing a football game on Saturday, right? So obviously, similar to last year, feels like the Michigan-Ohio State game was kind of the de facto Big Ten championship game. We're going to be playing Purdue on Saturday. There's a storyline over there, too, unfortunately. Aiden O'Connell, their star quarterback, is dealing with a family tragedy. The Purdue program has rallied to support him. Sounds like he is going to play Saturday, right? And also Michigan fans, too. I don't know if you guys have seen any of this, but there's a collective that has been raising money, asking for $16 donations, which is Aiden's number, that they're going to donate to the family. It sounds like a ton of Michigan fans have flooded that collective. So really cool to see both fan bases rally together. So I hope he plays. He's a great young player. He's a great kid. And, you know, you want to see Purdue's best players on the field and having a good game. So that out of the way, Brock, this is basically Purdue passes the ball. They pass the ball a lot, right? So that's the game. So what do you see? You know, Michigan just dealt with a team that likes to pass the ball a lot in Ohio State, obviously, yep, right? So what do you see as some of the primary matchups, and what does Purdue have to do to maybe make this a football game?
Yeah, well, they're going to have a receiver that just has the game of his life, honestly. It could be Charlie Jones, I think is his name. But
what did Sam call it, or Gus Johnson call him?
Chuck Sizzle.
I think it's Chuck Sizzle. I made a graphic the first week for it because that just killed me.
Well, it might have to be him, and O'Connell and one of the receivers will have to put on a show, and it's going to have to be every bit of 200 yards, maybe even 250 if Purdue wants to have any shot of winning this game, because like you just said, Michigan knows how to deal with teams that like to pass the ball. It's been 2 years in a row now where they've basically shut down the pass happy Ohio State offense, and they've done it all throughout the year. DJ Turner and Jamon Green, and even Will Johnson too, who's been a big factor as a true freshman. These corners know what they're doing. The safeties, Rod Moore, Mike Sainristil. I just want to give a shout out to Sainristil for that amazing pass breakup in the end zone against Ohio State last week. That was probably one of the better football plays I've ever seen. But this is a good Michigan secondary, and Purdue's going to have to just have a receiver who exploits it and has the game of his life. I think that's pretty much the only opportunity the Boilermakers have of even being close in this one, in my opinion.
And Shadyville is 100% right. So when you see the passing yard stats for Purdue, you know, he said, from what I've read, Purdue passes, but not with the same effectiveness. 92nd in the country in yards per attempt, 88th in points per drive. So he's 100% correct. They throw for a decent amount of yards, but they throw 60 passes a game, right? Yeah. So they're not a super efficient team. So he's 100% spot on there. And then I just want to shout out here. You said, you know, Will Johnson's played pretty well, right? Finishing the year, you know, Pro Football Focus grades, he's their third defender right now, right? Yeah. So, and again, Sainristil, is he the best in coverage? No, but we've seen the plays he can make. We've seen how he can impact the run game and even the pass rush. So yeah, those four, that's the best Michigan secondary we've seen in a long time. So offense, defense, I think you're 100% on that. Josh, with the Michigan offense, I think it's pretty obvious versus Purdue, they're going to want to run the ball, right? Donovan Edwards is going to be RB1 this week. And then the questions, how else are they going to run the ball? Are we going to see more Stokes, Dunlap? Is Mullings moving over there? We finally get to see the Henning halfback carries. What do you think the run game plan is going to be?
Yeah, I mean that's kind of interesting. I haven't really heard much about that this week. You know, obviously it's going to be a heavy dose of Donovan Edwards. Probably some JJ thrown in there as well. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see they get the passing game going. You know, this is the first time in a very long time that, you know, Michigan can really air it out without worrying about the elements getting in the way. You know, they've had a couple of weeks where, you know, wind and weather has kind of impacted the downfield passing game. But, you know, we saw what it was like last week when things were humming and you know, Ohio State has an inexplicable defensive game plan for Michigan that totally blew up in their face. You absolutely love to see it. Yeah, so I just it could be. I don't think they're going to reinvent the wheel here. You know, I don't think Purdue's good enough for them to do that. They can just, I don't want to say they can just show up and win, but you know, if Michigan plays their game and do the things that they have done so well all year, you know, Michigan has a great shot of winning this game and a very, very good shot of winning this game. So I don't think a whole heck of a lot has to change. You know, I think, you know, maybe you do see CJ Stokes getting a little bit of a longer leash. He's been so close to breaking a couple. You know, I think the narrative would change so much if he were to break some of those. You know, that early fumble obviously kind of sidelined him a bit. And again, you have to account for the fumble, and you have to coach a guy and teach him that, hey, you know, for when I'm talking about Mike Hart here, you know, you have to bench a guy and teach him, hey, fumbles aren't acceptable. You can't fumble the ball. If you fumble the ball, you're not going to play. So teaching Stokes a lesson and kind of not having him see the field for a little bit, it was probably good for his overall growth as a player. So maybe you do kind of see that expand a little bit on Saturday, but yeah, I mean, Donovan Edwards shown that he's very capable of taking the hits with his cast on and who knows where he's at with his recovery, you know, and in terms of what that cast looks like on Saturday, or if there's one at all, I don't know. But yeah, this is the Donovan Edwards game. This is the game for him to really solidify, you know, probably his number one role next year. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead, but, you know, I highly doubt Corum is going to be here next year. You know, I think he's going to be in the pros. So there's an opportunity here for guys not named Edwards to get some run. But, you know, I think Michigan is going to be far more successful if Donovan not necessarily replicates what he did against Ohio State. I mean, 200 and something yards is, you know, not very easily replicable, but, you know, Blake Corum has shown that he could do that multiple times this year. So, I think there's an opportunity here for Michigan just to do what they've done all year and, you know, just do the things that they do best. And, you know, I think Purdue's defense is susceptible of giving up the big plays. So I think, you know, there's going to be other opportunities for guys like Ronnie Bell and Cornelius Johnson and Luke Schoonmaker to find open holes in the coverage. And again, JJ just is not fazed by anything. So this moment is not going to faze him one bit. I just think this is kind of the perfect bow on what this season has been. You know, again, like you said, I think the Ohio State game was the de facto Big Ten championship game. And, you know, Michigan realizes how close they are to the semifinal and what this game would mean. So there's going to be no emotional letdown from Ohio State. There's going to be no overlooking. I think this team's going to come in prepared, and I think they're going to win.
Well, you either set me up or just completely stole the thunder for the next thing I was going to ask Brock. So we'll see. But on the running back note real quick, you know, last week we saw Stokes get a couple runs and he missed some pretty huge cutback lanes. And then he essentially got benched. And I think it's not a matter of being, you know, down on Stokes or thinking whatever. He's exceeded expectations as a freshman. And if you look back on Donovan Edwards last season, you know, we saw the big passing game against Maryland and a little bit more use peppered in against Ohio State. And then obviously he had kind of a fun day in the Big Ten championship game. So if Stokes were to get more run in this game, that would kind of put them on line with what we saw from Edwards last year. So that's not too crazy. And you know what? They're in a position, or have been at least this year, with Corum and Edwards, that when he had that fumble against Maryland, they could bench Stokes, right? They could really use his freshman season to train him and grow him, and because he's probably RB2 next year, right? Because like you said, Corum's not coming back. So I don't think it's a matter of being low on him. I think it's just a matter of taking advantage of this opportunity. Brock, what I was going to ask you and what he kind of hinted at is the hangover, right? That was the talk last year, big part of the narrative. Michigan beats Ohio State first time in blah, blah, blah forever. You know, the environment at home, the crowd rushing the field, et cetera. Was Michigan going to go into this Big Ten championship game against Iowa looking ahead to the playoff and potentially lose, right? I don't think we hear a lot of that narrative this year because they proved it last year. But what do you think is the mindset of this team right now heading into their second Big Ten championship game and another college football playoff and potentially a national championship game on the horizon?
Yeah, well, I think J.J. McCarthy put all those looking ahead narratives and kind of falling asleep narratives to sleep after the Ohio State game when he straight up said the job's not finished. Like there's bigger goals than beating Ohio State and going 12-0 and probably winning the Big Ten championship. This team has the national championship on their mind, and I feel like they can do it, and I think they know they can do it too. And I feel like they see Purdue as just another roadblock in their way, and I don't really suspect that Purdue's going to give them much of a fight and kind of get them off of that roll. I want to go back to one thing that Josh said when he was going on about the different environments that Michigan's had to play in. If you look at the rest of the year, and assuming Michigan wins tomorrow, they'll go and play likely in the Fiesta Bowl, if I remember right, in Arizona. And then if they win there, they go to I think the national championships in LA at SoFi Stadium. But all three of those games are indoors. So Michigan won't have to worry about weather, even though they play well in bad weather games this year, with the exception of Illinois when it was like 10 degrees outside and they snuck by with Jake Moody's field goal. But the rest of the games this year are indoors. So there's nothing that's going to phase J.J. McCarthy. Like Josh said, he's locked in and he's ready to go. And I think he knows that this team can win the national championship.
No, I agree completely. And look, it is a good bad weather team, right? But there's something about knowing that's not going to be a factor and you get to just play your game, right? Whichever team you are, right? So I agree with you there. That's going to be nice to have that. The last roster-related thing I want to touch on, Brock, I'm going to ask you this one too before we kind of get into the more bigger picture CFP stuff that's hanging out there. Harbaugh kind of said that they didn't do anything different against Ohio State. They played the game they were going to play, and the deep ball was an element, blah, blah, blah. But I disagree completely. I think Cornelius Johnson being utilized as the deep threat was a massive change. And we saw him used that way a lot more last year. But through the first 11 games of the year, if you looked at average depth of target, he was like 7 yards. So that means the average depth he was on his route when the pass was thrown to him was like 7 yards. Roddy Bell and Roman Wilson are like double that, right? So putting Wilson in the slot, Bell coming back on the outside, it kind of took away that deep threat from Cornelius. And then against Ohio State, it was him and Colston Loveland. And hey, look, there you go, right? A couple of those routes Cornelius ran too, especially his deep touchdown, not the dig route that he turned upfield, but the actual post. Put dude on skates, right? So do you think that's, Brock, for you, is this a light bulb moment? Is Cornelius going to go back to being the deep threat for the rest of the season here? Or do you think we're going to see more of this type of passing game we saw the first 11 games that everyone – wait, sorry – pause.
I know, I had to bring this up. It's cracking me up.
All right, got a comment here. It's about to drive me crazy. What the hell is the pattern on Josh's hoodie? This is why, for you listening on Spotify, you folks are lucky. Josh has got the grandma couch going on right now. So I thought it was slabs of meat. Then I thought it was flowers, and now I just gave up. fantastic. I'm red, dude. That's hilarious.
I should have put. I need to get one now that has slabs of meat on a sweatshirt.
The Lady Gaga hoodie, right?
Just wear it around. Slabs, just good old, just big things of beef, all on my sweatshirt. But to answer the question, pretend they're slabs of meat. It's fine.
All right, slabs of meat hoodie. So yeah, Brock, wide receivers, Cornelius Johnson. Anyway. Do you think we're going to see more of the passing game similar that we saw in Ohio State? Granted, I know they were playing cover zero, blah, 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 but just in general, more of what we saw in the first 11 games.
I think we could. And, you know, we talked all season about how Michigan might be saving some stuff for Ohio State and they're keeping the playbook closed and they're going to open it up against the Buckeyes. And I feel like you're kind of sitting there watching Cornelius Johnson run into the end zone on two straight offensive plays. And you can't help but think that maybe they did save a little bit. And I don't know if they're going to go back to what they did in the first 11 games of the season and just run the ball down your throat and throw those short little balls to the receivers, or if they're going to keep the playbook open and let Cornelius Johnson run wild. But yeah, like on that one play that you mentioned, I think it was Lathan Ransom. I mean, Cornelius Johnson just spun him around and he was lost.
Yeah. Mr. Right? Ransom had a bad day. So
yeah. And so
a lot of highlights.
Right. Yeah. And so maybe we'll see a little more of that from Cornelius. And there was even one play too. It may have been that same play where Roman Wilson put a guy on the ground. And so,
that was the first TD, that dig route.
Yeah.
JJ had to get rid of the ball quick, but yeah, if he would have had any time, Wilson, he posted that video on his own Instagram or whatever, where he like stomped his feet. He was so mad because he was so open. And then he just ran with Cornelius to the end zone. But
we'll see if they if the receivers can continue being those downfield threats, or if they kind of go back to their bread and butter and running the ball. We'll see.
Yeah, I think I was so happy for Cornelius. He's a guy I hyped a ton as a recruit, so I've kind of tied myself to him because the better he does, I can be like, see, I was right. So I was glad to see him get the deep shots, and yeah, I hope they continue to use him like that. He's a great route runner, and we saw it against Ohio State. So, all right, we've hinted at it a little bit, and we got to talk about the big picture college football playoff, right? So, number one, Georgia's playing LSU, right? The narrative going into that was, what if LSU wins? And they blew it with Texas A&M. I don't think anybody expects Georgia to lose that football game, right? If they do, they're still in. But at this point, we're going to assume Georgia wins, and they're probably the one seed. I think I wrote a column about why I thought Michigan should be, but let's assume Georgia's there at one. Michigan, we're pretty comfortable they're going to beat Purdue. And unless something unbelievably crazy happens where they lose by a significant margin, they're probably in two. We'll pencil them in at two. So things get interesting with 3, 4, 5, and apparently 6. I don't know why Alabama's in this conversation other than ESPN trying to put them there. So I'm not going to put them in this conversation. I'm going to acknowledge other people are. I think that's crazy. So whatever. TCU is undefeated. And again, I feel like they should be conference champs, but they've got their game with Kansas State. Again, probably expected to win. If they lose, I think they probably still get into, right? But the big ones tonight, USC and Utah, right? They have a 1-point loss to Utah early in the season. They basically have to beat them again at this point, or it feels like they're going to fall out and Ohio State's probably going to sneak in and get that 4 seed. So I guess the question is, how do you think TCU, USC, those playoff games are going to, conference championship games are going to play out? Josh, I'm going to ask you first. How do you think they're going to play out? And if there's a scenario where one of them loses, should it be Ohio State that gets in? And do you want Michigan to play Ohio State again?
To answer the last question, no. I mean, I guess I would say yes, if only if it was a national championship game. That's the only reason I would want to them to play each other again. They don't deserve to be in. They got their chubby little butt spanked by Michigan last week. Hard, okay? They don't deserve to be in. They're soft. They're soft. They don't deserve to be in. So give me...
Brock was worried about what he was going to say.
No, they're soft. I was thinking a few weeks ago. You remember that time during the last couple of podcasts where I said, I'm going to say something, but never mind, I'm not going to say it. They proved me wrong. They proved me right. They're the bunch of soft as baby poop, right? So just a diaper loaded with it. USC and TCU are going to win. I have this weird thing about rematches that, like, the if someone plays in a rematch, if they won the first time, they somehow lose the second time. I don't know why.
No, you're 100% right. It's real. Yeah. The losing team has a huge advantage and more often than not wins rematches. Yeah.
Yep. And so I think USC wins this game. And I'm rooting for USC to win because, you know, they're going to be all these, you know, people pro OSU that's going to try and get them in there because USC loses. But I think USC wins. I think TCU wins. And I love the matchup against TCU. I love it. And I'm rooting like hell for that to happen in the semifinals. Give me a Big 12 defense any day of the week against this team. Oh my God. It's going to be great. It's going to be excellent.
It feels like Michigan got kind of a weird draw last year because they didn't want Georgia and Bama playing in the semifinal. And you're thinking if they would have played Cincinnati first, you know, granted, Georgia wiped the floor with them. Michigan wasn't the national championship team last year. We know that.
Right.
But it'd be nice to see them get. And TCU is probably underrated even at undefeated. They're a better team than people think. But you're right. I mean, just matchup on paper. Yeah, that's a good matchup for Michigan. So,
yeah.
Brock, similar feelings. How do you see TCU, USC going if Ohio State slides in? Should they? And just big picture, the conference championship games, the fact that I'd sit out. Can you do that? Can I say I don't want to play in this game? What do I get to gain from it? Right.
Right. Yeah. And see, I'm kind of torn on this whole situation because, in my opinion, Georgia's in, Michigan's in, and TCU is in. I don't think personally, even if TCU loses to Kansas State, that they should be out because they'll be 12-1, and they'll have more wins than any other team that could be thrown in there. So it's my personal opinion that those three teams are in, and I do think USC is going to beat Utah tonight. And if they win, they're in. So I think those are the four playoff teams. But where it gets tricky is if USC loses, because then you got USC at what, 11-2, and so then
both losses to Utah.
Yep. Right. Yeah. So you got USC at 11-2. Ohio State at 11-1. And then, like Josh said, or maybe it was you, Trevor, Alabama shouldn't be anywhere near the conversation. I'm going to go off on a little rant here about Alabama. If any other team in the country was 10-2, they wouldn't even be considered. But since it's Alabama who's 10-2, and I get they've had two close losses. They lost both games on the last play of the game. But still, it's two losses. No two-loss team has ever made the playoff, and they're not even going to be in their conference championship game. So in my opinion, it's a five team race, and I don't even think Ohio State belongs because they just got destroyed by Michigan by 22 points on their home field in front of 106,000 fans. And everyone watched it. There were 17 million viewers who watched Ohio State just get destroyed by Michigan. So the problem becomes if USC loses, then who's the fourth team? Because I think they'll put in Ohio State. And do I think it's right? No. But it's what's probably going to happen. And this is where it becomes a problem because then you get three teams who are in, and then there's basically someone who's gifted a fourth spot when they probably don't even deserve it. USC doesn't deserve it. Ohio State doesn't deserve it. And Alabama doesn't deserve it. So I feel like at that point, it should just be a three-team playoff and just have Michigan, Georgia, and TCU all play a round robin or something. But this fourth team...
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, but this fourth team or fourth spot in the playoff, it's just mind-boggling to me how we can't find a fourth team to be in here. But I think that'll all be fixed if USC wins tonight, which I think they will.
Yeah, for sure. And the brand part of it that you brought up with Bama, Michigan probably gets benefit of brand pretty often, right? So I'm not going to pretend they don't. But if any other team had an undefeated regular season, a Bama, a Clemson, whatever, instead of it being TCU, is anyone talking about them not being in? if they lose that conference championship game, right? And if TCU, well, I guess it's an SEC team, right? So pick Kentucky is 10-2 with losses to Tennessee and LSU, like Bama has. Is anybody talking about Kentucky getting into the college football playoff, right?
Nope.
And I know Alabama's done what Alabama has done, which is arguably the most dominant stretch in college football history, but we got to look at it year to year, right? So shout out them, Turf, coming through for us. Toski the GOAT, no cap. We wondered if it would happen. It did. We should have taken bets. Fantastic. So, yeah, I don't want to play Ohio State again, not out of like a fear thing or anything. If it had been close, if it had been 2006, where we all wanted a rematch, right? Yeah. Where Michigan loses by 3 on a road field, right? Not to bring betting into it, but 3 points is the home field advantage, right? So, yeah, let's see that on a neutral site, right? Michigan's done what they need to do. And if Ohio State were to get in and somehow win it or beat Michigan in whatever scenario, that just doesn't sit right with me after what Michigan did in Columbus, right? I will say, you end up with Michigan, Ohio State in the national championship. There is no doubt that'll be the most watched college football game in history, right? You just had 17 million people watch the regular season game. So that would be insane. So, yeah, the expanded playoff is coming in 2024. We know that officially now. That's going to improve the conference championship games in a way that now they're playing for a bye, right? Or in Purdue, Kansas State, Utah's case, much like college basketball, they're playing for an automatic bid, right? Now you're 9-3 in the playoff because you won your conference championship. So until then, this just feels like a useless exhibition to me. So anyway, going to button it up with one last thing for the Big Ten championship game. Give me your X factor for the game or who you think the MVP is going to be for Michigan versus Purdue. And if you remember your score prediction that we posted today, feel free to drop it in or come up with a new one. Who cares? Josh, who do you got? X factor, player of the game, final score. What do you got?
Yeah, let's just throw it at the wall here. I think my prediction was 41-17. And I stand by that. And I think, oh man, the X factor. There's so many that could be possible, offense and defense. I mean, the obvious one is Donovan Edwards. I mean, that's the duh one. But, you know, I think the X factor here could be JJ. You know, they really could get him involved with his legs, and they could certainly allow him to air it out. You know, I think the Lucas Oil Stadium atmosphere and weather is going to be perfect on tomorrow. So, you know, perfect airing out weather for JJ. So, yeah, give me JJ McCarthy. You know, I think he's going to have a good day and really kind of cement himself as that, you know, Michigan legend status that Jim Harbaugh's been talking about.
I love it. Brock, who do you got? And bonus point to Josh, he did guess his score prediction correctly. So Brock, if you can name an X factor I like better and get your score right, you will win the game. Go ahead.
Well, I remember my score prediction. It was Michigan 49, Purdue 20.
They were tied, boys. Who's your X factor?
You know what? I'm going to go with a little bit of a different one. I'm going to say Will Johnson. I think he'll finish with an interception since Purdue will probably throw the ball at least 40 times.
Yeah.
I think Will Johnson will finish with at least one interception, maybe even two. And I think he'll play a big role in shutting down the Boilermaker receivers on Saturday. So we'll see.
I like that. And you've got more of a blowout there, right? 49-20.
Yeah, I took a little bit of a jab at Ohio State because I think it was back in 2018 when Purdue just completely obliterated Ohio State by that score, 49-20. So we'll see what happens.
Well, that settles it for me, Brock. You win the game. the Purdue reference, the tie in there. I love it. Your prize is in the mail. So I didn't remember my prediction, but I have the article right in front of me. I went 45-17. So I do think Michigan wins comfortably. I do think it's going to be similar to every game we've seen this year where our message board is going to be screaming during the first quarter, maybe early into the second, because Michigan doesn't come out guns firing. And then second half, they're going to shut them down and run away with a back-to-back Big Ten championship, which is pretty remarkable, right? In terms of sole Big Ten championships, first time since, I think, 91, 92. They went back-to-back 03, 04, but share, right? So, awesome. For me, the X factor, I love the Will Johnson pick. You'd argue we saw usage-wise, he's almost CB1 at this point. Yep. It's incredible what he's done. And he was good all season, but they're really putting a lot on his plate. I love the JJ pick as well, because they finally let him go win a football game, and he did it. I loved his attitude. Brock brought that up earlier at the press conference. I think he's got the mojo right now. And I love, you know, obviously we know the news, Cade McNamara transferring to Iowa. Love what he did for the program last year. But in terms of Michigan versus Georgia, I think that's going to be the difference. I want the most confident JJ McCarthy I can get going into the playoffs. I say let him loose. I'm going to go boring, though. I think the X factor in this one is going to be Luke Schoonmaker coming back. Mm-hmm. Just the way Purdue's defense sets up, you know, Colson Loveland's probably still going to get luck. They love throwing him the deep ball, but I think Schoonmaker's going to have a stupid game. 8 catches, big yards, maybe a touchdown or two. See if they, you know, depending on what they do in the red zone. But, yeah. All right. So we covered quite a bit here today, boys. We are going to be in Indianapolis tomorrow. So please make sure you're following at Michigan Rivals, the Maize and Blue official account. Make sure you're following myself at Trevor McHugh, our Intel Insider publisher, King, at Josh Henske on Twitter. And then also, obviously, Brock Heilig at Brock, H-E-I-L-I-G on Twitter as well. We're going to be posting tomorrow. Pictures, information, and again, we're going to have live threads going at michigan.rivals.com. So make sure you're heading over there. Again, otherwise, thank you for following. Please keep in touch all weekend with all of our game day coverage, and we'll be back with another Hail to the Podcast next week, talking about Michigan's next playoff matchup, more than likely, right? All right, everyone. Thank you. Have a great Friday.